Good morning.
Morning.
You want to come in here?
Yeah,
yes.
Come in.
Sorry for the delay.
Okay.
Lynette was telling me it was a walk-in.
Yes, it was. They wanted to drop off a check.
Perfect. Well, we always like them to drop off checks.
Checks are good.
All right.
All right.
So, what's on your mind before we get started into my material?
Anything on your mind? Nothing in particular.
I just had one question. The timing of all of this during the holidays, does that matter?
It's perfect.
Okay.
Supernova is always perfect. Whenever you do it. But it's particularly good if you can get up and running for the new year. It's perfect.
You know, anybody,
because people are expecting something new, you know, new year, expecting new, something new. So it's a perfect time to, I mean, we couldn't have planned it better. To say, okay, for the new year, we're going to be doing this. So it's another rationale for why we're starting this.
Okay,
gotcha.
Okay. So we're, the homework basically was to determine your min-max and determine what your practice looks like and do some homework. How'd you do on the homework?
Well, our minimum's 250. You're talking about household assets?
Yes.
250.
And your target minimum is what?
When you say target minimum, you mean number of households or?
Okay, so maybe we didn't go over this. So in order to get to the number, the absolute minimum, we take our production and we divide it by our household.
Yeah, our average household's 500,000.
Okay. So that's,
and our average household revenue is 5,500.
Okay, perfect. All right, so that becomes your absolute minimum. You'd never open an account lower than that. I mean, you know, if you want to do Supernova as prescribed. Now, your target is the clients that you'd like to duplicate. So if the 80-20 rule applies, which I assume it does, 20% of your clients give you 80% of your revenues. So if we were going to not increase the number of clients, but we were going to increase the quality of our clients, we'd want more clients that look like the top 20%. So we're going to give away the bottom 20% and bring in the top 20%. What would they look like?
Well, you know, we discussed this last week. We have 400 households and 205 households make up 85% of our revenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think he's asking what they look like as far as Dr. Acosta. I mean, do they look like doctors? Or?
Is that what you're asking?
Yet. No,
not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
I'm ahead of myself.
So yeah, there's three of us. There's three FAs. Okay, and what we've kind of whittled this down to is 75 households per FA.
Yeah.
With an additional, you call them butler, but you know maybe there's between 15 and 20 butlered accounts on top of that 75.
Okay, but I'm still looking for a target minimum. So of the 205 households, what is your average production of that group?
5,500.
Okay. All right. So let's take the top 20% of that 205 households, which would be 40 households. What's the production of that 40 households?
Do we know that, Brony?
I mean, we have the top 80 households, which would be 20%, right?
Well, I mean, he gave me 205. If he wants to give me 400, that's fine.
I don't know the average production. I have that. We know the total. So,
give him that number. I don't know what the top 20% is. Or top 20. I don't know.
So the top 80 we have, we generate almost 999,000 of revenue out of the top 80 households, and there's 145,000 total assets in those households.
100 million.
145 million, sorry, yeah.
Okay, so just take and divide the numerator by the denominator, and you're giving me my number.
So divide that revenue by 80, by however number of households, 80?
80, yeah.
Sure.
Sweet.
$12,417.
Okay. So
that's average revenue.
Revenue, yeah.
So that's going to be around a million. It's a little more than a million, right? So a million.
Yeah, what'd you say it was? A million one?
200,000, probably.
Million. What'd you say the revenue, total revenue was, divided by 80?
Total revenue?
No, in those 80 accounts, what was the revenue number you divided by? You divided.
Yeah, $993,399.
Okay.
All right, so your target, so your absolute minimum should be $500,000 in terms of assets, and your target minimum should be about a million. Okay? It's a fairly flat practice. Okay, so when you go out to your community, your minimum is a million. Your minimum is not 500,000. Use the 500,000 to help you say, look, we're not going to bring in any more clients, right? We've got plenty of clients. We want to bring in bigger clients. So from now on, we're only going to bring in bigger clients than our average. Okay, what we do with the existing clients, that's up to you guys. You determine how hard you want to work. That's how many clients you want to service. But in the future, going forward, we have to have some objectives. We have to see what makes sense. If we bring in $250,000 clients, we continue to dilute our practice. We have more clients and we don't increase the value. Unless we increase the number of clients. since we don't want to increase the number of clients, we don't want to bring in clients that are less than our average. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't want clients that are average. We want clients that look like our best clients. So somebody's moving around a lot of papers next to the speaker.
Sorry.
Okay. So what we want to do is have a target that will be in our best interest long term. So, you know, every year we want to do the math. As we increase our revenues, keep the same number of clients, our absolute minimum goes up and our target minimum goes up, and that's how we grow. It's a different way of growing than we've grown in the past. In the past, we grow by becoming bigger, more clients. Now we grow by bringing in bigger clients. So we have to know who we're after. So the second part of the exercise is to determine who are our bigger clients and how do we duplicate them. So it sounds like you went and did some forensic analysis of your practice, and what did you find?
Well, the majority of those households are people that are self-employed and or physicians. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, that's perfect. So did you prospect for self-employed and physicians, or how did that happen?
Well, we prospected for self-employed, people that own businesses. They're entrepreneurial, they're risk takers, et cetera, et cetera. The physicians really came by a referral, the majority of them.
And where did the referrals come from?
From existing clients.
Just randoms or centers of influence or CPAs or who?
Well, so somewhat random. We do have relationships with a number of CPA firms that refer business to us, but
okay.
You know,
are the physicians connected?
No. Well, they're connected as far as geographical area, central Pennsylvania.
But they're not in the same practice or
no,
same hospital.
No, no, no.
Different hospitals, different associations, different groups.
Different hospitals, yeah, different practices.
So no particular kind of, are they all internists, or are they surgeons, or any association there?
General surgeon, thoracic surgeon, ophthalmologist. But see, that field's changing. I mean, you know, these folks are at the end of their careers, not in the beginning. And, you know, the days of having independent practices, you know, these folks are either close to retirement or in retirement because, you know, these physicians are being forced into these larger medical hospitals or, you know, so...
Yeah.
At one time, these guys were all self-employed. They had their own self-employed practices, medical practices. No matter what their specialists, you know, as far as what they did, they were all self-employed. They're not any longer.
Right. Any that we've found that. You read in the book that I thought that business of consolidating and buying up practices was over. But
not here in Central PA, is not.
No, that's still a good business. You can make money by helping doctors sell their practices.
Yeah.
So you want to, that's something we'll talk about.
But the majority of our clients are self-employed business people, that own construction companies, that own, businesses.
Yeah.
There is a piece of our business that has come from folks that have retired from Sperry New Holland closed, a GE plant closed, and we picked up some business from folks that were displaced and had to needed advice as far as rolling over their retirement accounts, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that's the lower hanging fruit, not the, that would be kind of like the middle of our practice or the lower, the lower hanging fruit of our practice.
Yeah, smaller clients. Okay, good. So you're qualified to do that. You guys do that. So that's a nice niche if you happen to have those companies around. Okay. Well, good. So that's, do you guys specialize in anything in particular except for working with self-employed physicians and doing rollovers? Do you do any other niche specialization for clients?
If financial planning is a niche, but no.
Okay. But you're good at financial planning.
Yeah.
Good. All right. That's important. All right. Well, great. Let's talk a little bit about once we have established our minimum and then our target market, our ideal client, then what we do is look at our practice and say, okay, what's my ideal day? My ideal day is, one that I control. So think of your surgeon, right? Your surgeon does surgery in the morning, early morning, and then has office hours, say, on Tuesday afternoon or something. So they'll do surgery in the morning and office hours in the afternoon a couple days a week. So what you want to do is say, okay, when do I need to do what? So if I'm going to see patients, if I'm going to see clients, when am I going to see them? If I'm going to prospect, when am I going to prospect? If I'm going to work on financial planning and other administrative tasks, when am I going to do that? So you need to, just think of it as a clean slate. You can start over and create your perfect day. So I want you to create your perfect day, week, month, and year. So when you say, why year? Because people go on vacations. We know that there's 5 week months, January, April, July, and October that we always have. You don't have a full extra week, but you have extra days sometimes, maybe a full week. Do you want to use those for vacations, for prospecting, for catching up on meetings? And then how do we organize our team so that everybody isn't on vacation at the same time? They've probably already dealt with many of these issues, but it's a time to kind of look at them. The other thing is when you travel to visit your clients, Hopefully we get all the clients to come in and visit you. But
the majority do.
Perfect. Yeah, but there'll be some that are retired in Arizona and don't want to make the trip, or Florida and
right.
so forth. So you're going to want to see them for lots of reasons, but let's just say you do want to see them. You want to package them together so that you'd see all the people in Fort Myers and Naples and on one trip. And let's say that there were six couples, then when you look at your day, since they're going to have a permanent hour, each client gets a permanent hour of their own. So say Rob Knapp, you're going to visit me in Boca Grande, Florida, on the first Tuesday of the month, okay, and that would be in January, all right? So that would be our time. The first Tuesday of the month at 9 o'clock would be our time for my phone calls, for my in-person visit, and everything else. So let's just say that you've got Rob Knapp on Boca Grande at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, the first week of, this will make it the first week of January for argument's sake. You would then have, you try and visit everybody in Naples or Fort Myers, or so you'd have Rob at 9, you'd have somebody at 12, somebody else at 3. So you try and get 3 meetings in a day, theoretically. And then the next day, you'd have a 9, 12, and 3. So you could see 6 clients in a geographic area, and so that would be their permanent times. Now, you can do anything you want. I'm just, you know, giving you this kind of example. Now, we recommend that you do your 12-4-2s, that you do actually see everybody twice a year. And there's lots of reasons. One is to update their financial plan. Two is to make sure you know them and really know them. And three is because that's the time when you're really going to get your introductions. Because it's a, you know, they know you're doing them a favor by seeing them in person, and they appreciate it. They feel grateful, and at that point, they're much more receptive to give you an introduction. So, anyway, questions on creating your ideal day, week, month, year? Now, also keep in mind, you will not have what happened this morning, typically. Okay? It's wonderful that somebody drops off a check. But you'll typically be in a meeting because you're going to be busy. Okay? And so someone needs to greet that client other than you and make sure that they're taken care of. So no interruptions, no phone tag, no wasted time. I mean, everything becomes much more efficient. It's good. It eliminates some of the flexibility. That's a downside. But on the other hand, your productivity goes through the roof. People stop calling. There are no incoming calls. You think, wait a minute, there'll be incoming calls. No, there are hardly any incoming calls, and hardly any for you, particularly, as an FA. So everything is by appointment. Everything is scheduled. Everything is organized. Clients love it. You like it. Productivity goes up. Clients aren't interrupted. So, I mean, it really works. And people say, well, my business is up 30% because of Supernova. And I go, that's just because you're spending more time with your existing client. You know, as a prospect, if you use your time that you've found efficiently and fill in that other, you know, you have 75 clients and you have, let's say, 25 prospects, you're going to be busy and you're going to be productive. You're going to raise your revenues. So, you know, it's not magic. I mean, we do it because it works, and we do it because it makes you more productive. So when you say I'm more productive, it's like, yes, of course you are, because you're not being interrupted. The huge advantages for your staff, too. With fewer clients, more focused, everybody's got appointments, no more call-ins, they're not interrupted. So they can get their work done and avoid the, you know, the random phone calls about Saddam Hussein being captured, you know. So we want to avoid that, and it becomes a training issue. So you want to really work on training your clients on how they work. So people say, well, why do I need the folder for my client? Because you're training your client to write down their questions in their folder, and you're training them to understand the value of the agenda you're sending them, and hopefully they will send back a question on the agenda or an issue that they want to cover for the agenda. That makes them feel in control, and it makes them feel empowered, makes them feel as though you know them and that you're listening to them. So when they send back an item for the agenda, consider it a victory. Questions?
I don't have a question to give to you guys.
How do you limit the interruptions in office, not clients, but other interruptions?
You do it by displacement. There can't be an interruption if you're on the phone. Okay? So if you're talking to we want you to be spending much more of your time talking to clients than talking to prospects. If you're talking to a prospect and a client, you can't be interrupted.
Gotcha.
So that's what we do. We're busy. Our time is filled. We're not available. We love you. We're just not available. Okay?
Yep.
So everything is by appointment. So if somebody wants to talk, I mean, look, why are we so different from CPAs, attorneys, and doctors and everybody else that's a professional? We can call ourselves professional, but we act like amateurs. So why is it okay to just walk in on us? You know, why shouldn't everybody have an appointment? If somebody wants to see you, they should have an appointment. You should know what the agenda is going to be of their conversation, what it is that we are going to talk about. So when a wholesaler wants to talk to you, they should have an appointment. They shouldn't poke their head in the door and randomly wave to you, interrupt you. I love wholesalers, okay? They can bring great value to you. But you want to make sure that you are you're on the same page that they are. Bring me a good idea. You know, I'm happy to see you, but you should have a really good idea for me. That's going to enhance my practice. Okay? Questions? All right, so for next time, we're going to go through the 5-star model. So read ahead on the 5-star model. It's how do we organize our team to be more efficient and effective? Because if everybody's doing the same thing, there is no leverage, right? So we want to have leverage. So read ahead on the five-star model.
That's chapter three, right?
That's chapter three, correct.
Okay.
And read in the book, I go into the five-star model in detail. So read the chapter in the book. Okay? I cover it in the video. It's in the notes. It's in the workbook. But because, you know, I spend just a big chapter on five-star model because it's so important.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time, next week.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.